We're going to have a short study of the Word of God this morning, but it's only going to work today if you get your Bibles out. Don't just sit there and look at me. Please get your Bibles out and go to the New Testament. We're going to be in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. We're going to be in the book of Ephesians, especially Ephesians chapter 6. But this lesson will benefit you, and I promise I will shorten it if you're looking at your Bible. If you're looking at your phone, and you're looking at Facebook, I'm going to lengthen the sermon. All right? I know the difference. I know the difference between the scroll of Facebook and the scroll of your Bible app. I'm not a dummy. All right? So, get your Bibles out. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 6, Colossians chapter 3. We're going to be honing in on those particular passages. When you have gone to stores over the years, you walked into the gas station, walked into the fast food restaurant, walked into various businesses and stores around, have you noticed signs that have typically been in the storefronts? You know, for years you would always, you know, especially walk up to some of these stores and you see that sign that says, no shirt, no shoes, no service. You've seen that sign. I mean, there's all sorts of signs that they put up. Now, in the last year and a half, what's the sign been? You know, no shirt, no shoes, no mask, no service. You know, you got to have a mask on to go in various places. But have you noticed, especially in the last year, not just around here. We were in Tennessee a few weeks ago, and I think it was in every business and every restaurant that we walked into, there was a sign out front that said, now hiring. Every place you go, now hiring. Every place you go, they're looking for people to work. Our nation is facing a shortage of people who are actually willing and ready to go to work. And so this is the sign that you see out front, which makes me thankful for these young people who are still living at home, most of them, and still eating from mom and dad's table. But I am appreciative of a number of our young people who go out and get jobs and learn how to have a strong work ethic even at a young age. And so as I've thought about these signs that just keep appearing everywhere around us, and as I've thought about the times when we've been in restaurants and folks have come around and apologized to us for the slowness of the service because they're lacking enough individuals to actually fulfill the roles that they need to fulfill in order to provide the service that they need to provide, I've thought, what does that have to do with us? And you might think this morning, what does that have to do with the church? What does that have to do with us as Christians? What does that have to do with a Sunday morning sermon? The reality is that sometimes we get pulled into the world around us. And if nobody else is working, why do I have to work? And if somebody else is going to pay so I don't have to work, then maybe I don't really have to work. This morning, I want us to spend some time just opening the Bible, letting the Bible do the teaching. And the things we're going to have on the PowerPoint this morning say that God calls us to do this, not the church, not the preacher. God calls us to do this. PowerPoint this morning is going to say the Bible teaches this. What does the Bible say? Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, we learn that God calls us to work. Now, I want to be very careful here, and I want you to listen. I want to be very careful here. I'm not talking to those who are shut-ins this morning and telling them they need to go get a job. I'm not talking to those this morning who are legitimately disabled. And you know what I mean by that, I think. I'm not talking to those this morning who are retired, who worked for most of their life to earn a living and are able now to be retired from working. Those aren't the individuals I'm talking to. I'm not talking to stay-at-home moms and telling you, you got to go get a job. You're working harder than some of us who have a job when you're working at home. But you know who I'm talking. There are individuals I'm not talking to this morning. You know who we're talking to. The Bible calls us, God calls us to work. Do you know how often the Bible condemns laziness? You read through the book of Proverbs, And at least 15 times, you're just going to find that word lazy. Not that that's all the verses that are there, but 15 times, you're going to find the idea of laziness in the book of Proverbs. You got in Ecclesiastes chapter 10. You got in Romans chapter 12, not to be lagging in diligence, not to be slothful. God doesn't want us to be lazy. Now, that doesn't mean it's wrong for us to rest. Doesn't mean it's wrong for us to take a day off. That's not being lazy. Did Jesus ever rest? Even in the Old Testament, they were to remember the Sabbath day. What was it? A day of rest. But do you know what rest implies? Rest implies that there was actual work that was being done in order to rest from your labors. You've got to work. God calls us to work. The Bible teaches that we must work for a number of reasons. But in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, it teaches us we must work in order to provide for ourselves. Look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. You look at the end of verse 7, where Paul says, or the beginning of verse 8, we didn't eat anyone's bread. Well, Paul, why didn't you eat anyone's bread? The end of verse 8, because we didn't want to be a burden to anybody. We didn't want to take from others because we did not want to be a burden to others. What a concept for people to have today, to take from others, to be a burden that others have to support. But look at what he says in verse 10. For even if we were with you, when we were with you, we commanded you this: if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. What's God's premise? What is God's foundation about work? That it's our responsibility to have a job and to work if we want to eat. Anybody want to eat? Anybody need to eat? If anybody will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk disorderly among you, not working at all, but they are busybodies. Now those who are such, we command and exhort. Those people who are not working, we command them through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work. Work in quietness and eat their own bread. Not relying on others to take care of them and to provide for them so that they don't have to work, but to get a job and to work in order to provide for themselves. That's what the Bible teaches. It is man's responsibility to go and to work in order to provide for himself. Now, the Bible also teaches over in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, that it is our responsibility to take care of our family, not somebody else's responsibility to take care of our family. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8, the Bible says that here's an individual, if he will not take care of his own family, if he will not take care of his own, he has denied the faith and he's worse than an unbeliever. Our responsibility to take care of ourselves, take care of our family. Why do we work? Interestingly, in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28, the Bible says, let him who stole stop stealing. Here's somebody who becomes a Christian. You used to steal, stop stealing. Let him who stole steal no longer, but let him what? Labor and work with his hands. Well, why should he do that? Why should he labor and work with his hands? In order that he may have, but he doesn't put a period there. He doesn't say work in order that he may have. He says work in order that he may have to give to others who are in need. What a concept. What a concept that I don't just work. Proverbs chapter 23 says, don't overwork to be rich. I'm not working just to have money for me. I'm working to have so that I can give. When we have the blessed opportunity every Lord's Day to give back to the Lord, I'm working so that I can give to the Lord. Working so that I can help others who are in need, so that I can be God's hands on this earth to help others. God calls us to work. And when you go out and you see those signs that say now hiring, and you go into some of those establishments that are now hiring, have you found yourself doing what we're doing? We're a whole lot more patient with those individuals who are actually working. We're a whole lot more thankful that they are there. The restaurants take a little bit longer to get you your food. Yeah, if you've been out, you've noticed that. Why? Because they don't have enough people working. We've found ourselves trying to be more patient and thankful that they are actually working. Maybe tip a little bit more because you actually went out and got a job when so many others are choosing not to do that. God calls us to work. But now, He doesn't just call us to work. God calls us to work hard. Not just work. Not just get a job so that I can show up and punch the clock and get a paycheck. But the Bible calls us to work hard. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, the Bible teaches, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all of your might. Don't be a half-hearted, half-efforted worker. When the Christian shows up on the job, he ought to look different and act different and work different than everybody else. Why? Because he is different. God calls us to work hard. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23, God calls us to work heartily. Think about that. Look in Ephesians chapter 6. Turn your Bible over to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to spend time looking at several verses over in Ephesians chapter 6. But I want you to see this. In Ephesians chapter 6, the end of verse 5, God talks about working in sincerity of heart. At the end of verse 6, he talks about doing the will of God from the heart. You get down into verse 7, and he says, work with good will, doing service. What does that mean, with good will, doing service? It indicates that we need to be enthusiastic. We need to be zealous in our efforts. And notice how often the word heart or good will is mentioned there in Ephesians chapter 6. God wants us, when we work, to give it our all. Not just work heartily. God wants us to work respectfully. Look in Ephesians chapter 6, look at verse 5, where he talks about working with fear and trembling. The conduct of the Christian in the workplace ought to be in sharp contrast to the conduct of the non-Christian. We are there, and we're going to work hard. We're going to work heartily. We're going to work respectfully. To pull from what Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 41, the Christian in the workplace ought to be one who's willing to go the second mile, to go above and beyond what is being asked of him in the workplace. Is that our concept? Is that our or do we give the bare minimum? You know this application is beyond just the workplace, but in the workplace, are we one who just kind of give the bare minimum? Whatever, just do the least that I can do in order to get by and to get the paycheck. Or as a Christian, do I step up and step out and step beyond what everybody else is doing? It's interesting to me that Chick-fil-A, that is one of the more premier businesses around for a number of reasons. I mean, who else can handle 3 drive-through lanes other than Chick-fil-A? I mean, you wouldn't go to any other place with 3 drive-through lanes. If you saw 3 drive-through lanes in any other fast food place, you'd be like, observe the Passover. Whoop, we're going to go somewhere else. Can't do it. You go to Chick-fil-A, they got 3 drive-through. I mean, the business model there is incredible. I don't know if they still have it. But before COVID, and at least, and I think it's for every Chick-fil-A, but for the Chick-fil-A in the mall, before COVID, You would look online and look at what position am I going to have at work today? And you might be the cashier. You might be the one that's taking the orders. And I don't know what they're all called. Sorry, Kenzie and Tyler. I don't know what all their real names are, but you might be the cashier who's actually taking the orders. You might be the food bagger. That's what I call them, the food bagger. You know, you're getting the food, putting it in the bag. You know, that might be your job for the day. You might be on desserts. Your whole job is desserts. What a great job. That, you know, my job today is just desserts. Your job might be mobile orders and you're going out to the parking lot. But before COVID, one position that you might have when you went to work that day, you know what it was called? It was called, their terminology, they called it second mile. If you went to work that day, you might be on the cash register, you might be bagging the food, or you might be on second mile. You know what that was? Well, of course you got people taking the order, taking the food, all right. You got people bagging the food, you got people giving the food. It's done, right? We've taken your money, we've given you your food, the transaction is over, please go away. Right? I mean, that's business. We're done with you. No. They went the second mile, and they paid people on their staff to work second mile that day. What was their job? To be outside from behind the counter. And at the mall, they walked around to the tables where people were eating and checking on them. Do you need any napkins? Do you need any ketchup? Do you need anything? Can I take your trash? Do you need a refill of your drink? Huh? You don't have to do that. You already got their money. They already got their food. Just leave it be. No, what were they doing? Going the second mile. Above and beyond what anybody else would ever expect. And guess what? Does it make a difference? Huh. What if little old me is a Christian? I don't have to wait and see if today I'm going to be working second mile when I go to work. What if I decide every day I go to work, I'm going to be working second mile today? I'm going to be going above and beyond what anybody else would ever expect somebody to do on the job. Not to draw attention to me. Not to say, oh, it's all up. No. To let them know that I'm real. And I'm real about being a Christian. I'm not going to shove it down somebody's throat and shove it in their face. But this is who I am. Not just on a Sunday, but every day. God calls us to work. God calls us to work hard. But look in Ephesians chapter 6. God calls us to work as if we are working to Him. And that's the terminology, as to Him. And when you get into Ephesians chapter 6, what you see is that the Bible teaches us that in the workplace we need to do what's right and we need to work hard even if we don't like the boss. And even if the boss isn't around to watch us. That's in Ephesians 6 and verse 5 and Colossians 3 and verse 22. They both use their terminology, not with eye service as men pleasers. Think about that. Not with eye service as men pleasers. What does that mean? I'm only going to do what's right when the boss is around to see me doing it. I'm only going to work hard when he's around to see me doing it. But when he's gone or she's gone, sorry, I'm not trying to be he or she. So when she's gone and she's not around, you know, then I can just slack off. That's not the Christian model. That might be the worldly model. That's not the Christian model for work. It doesn't matter who my boss is, and it doesn't matter if my boss is around or not. I'm going to be doing right, and I'm going to be working hard regardless. You know why? Because it doesn't matter who my boss is. I have a different boss, to use that earthly word, but we're going to see the biblical word here in just a second. I have a different boss. And I am more concerned about pleasing Him than I am about pleasing anybody else. And so go to Ephesians chapter 6 and look at how this is emphasized in these verses. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, the last part of verse 5. You work and you do this as to Christ. He's addressing bondservants and their relationship to their master, their responsibility to serve and be obedient to their master. But he says, you do this to your master as to Christ. Verse 6, not with eye service as with men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ. Isn't that interesting? I go to the workplace and I am acting, I'm behaving, I'm working as to Christ, as a bondservant of Christ. Look in verse 7. With goodwill, doing service as to the Lord. The New King James, I've got the word as three times. As to Christ, as bondservants of Christ, as to the Lord. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, verse 8, he will receive the same from who? From the Lord. Look in verse 9. You masters, you do the same things to them. Giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven. There's no partiality with him. That same statement is over in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 1, where he says, masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. When the Christian goes to the workplace, yeah, we've got a boss, and maybe some of you are the boss. You might be the boss. But there is our master in heaven. He's the one that we're trying to please. And he's seen what I am doing in the workplace, and he's seen how I am working, and if I am working according to the standards that he has set out. I need to work, the Bible says that. I need to work hard. I need to work as I am working to Christ. Finally, God calls us to work in his kingdom. You might think that all three of those first points don't have anything to do with you because you say, I'm retired. I'm not working anymore. And I've heard from some retired people that they're working more than they did before when they were working before they retired. You say, I don't go to the workplace anymore. That doesn't have anything to do with me. Take all of those same concepts and bring them over here. God calls us to work in His kingdom. Help me with this verse in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, where it talks about some place I am supposed to put the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Have you heard this verse before? In Matthew 6 and verse 33, it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." Are we supposed to work and have a job? Yes. But can I ask you, how does your job, your workplace, your career, how does that compare with the place that the kingdom of God has in your life? Which of those is first? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And seek ye first there doesn't mean I'm just looking for it and I'm looking at it. It means I am involved in it. I am working in it. It is first in my life. The Bible teaches that when I get involved in the kingdom of God, I need to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Am I? Am I always abounding in the work of the Lord? Ask yourself that question. Are we as a congregation, are we always abounding in the work of the Lord? Are we working heartily for the Lord? Take those same words. Are we working respectfully for the Lord? Are we going the second mile for the Lord inside the kingdom of God? Because the Bible teaches us that those who the Lord would consider to be lazy servants of God, those who do not faithfully and heartily and steadfastly work inside the kingdom, you know what's going to happen to them on the day of judgment. To that five-talent man who went and worked with what God gave him, what did the Lord say to him? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. To the two-talent man who took what the Lord had given to him and went and worked with what the Lord had given to him in his vineyard, what did the Lord say to him? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. To the one-talent man. This has nothing to do with how many talents this man had. Nothing to do with how many talents he had. But to the one-talent man who took what the Lord gave him and did nothing. Did he say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? You know what he says in Matthew 25 and verse 26. You wicked and lazy servant. Oh, that's a whole different thing. And instead of saying, as he said to the first two men, enter into the joy of your Lord. Come on in. He said to that wicked and lazy servant in verse 30, cast him out. Cast him into outer darkness. Laziness in the workplace, God condemns that. Laziness in the kingdom of God, we shouldn't want any part of it. We're on this earth to be workers for the Lord. We sing a song, I want to be a worker for the Lord. Do we? When we go out into the workplace tomorrow, you know what we need to be? Workers for the Lord. Because we work as to Him. But we need to be workers for the Lord, not just because we're clocking in to get a paycheck. But we need to be workers for the Lord in spreading the gospel, allowing our light to shine among others, being that salt that helps to flavor a corrupt world in which we live in, and seeking opportunities to make a difference in the lives of others. May God help us to see that He has a big sign out that says, now hiring. He's looking for faithful Christians. Where are you in your relationship with God this day? He calls us to work. He calls us to work in His kingdom. He calls us to serve Him. Do you know that Revelation chapter 22 teaches us, in those first five verses especially, but right there in verse 3, you know Revelation chapter 22 teaches us that in heaven, we will serve the Lord eternally. I know you might have a picture of heaven that you're going to be sitting around the crystal sea and you're going to be reclining on one of those poolside chairs and you're going to have your little lemonade with an umbrella inside of it and you're just going to be enjoying the light of heaven. And maybe that's going to be part of it. But that verse says we will serve Him eternally. God calls us to serve Him now so that we can serve Him eternally. Are you a Christian today? Are you a faithful Christian today? The Bible says in order to become a Christian, you've got to believe that Jesus is God's Son. Having that faith in your heart that He died for your sins ought to cause you to turn away from sin, to repent and say, I don't want to do sin anymore. I want to stop doing what's wrong. I want to start doing what's right. I want to turn my life in the direction of God. Are you ready to make that decision today? Say, I'm done with the living like the world wants me to live. I want to live like God wants me. I want to go to heaven. I want to serve God in heaven forever. If you're ready to make that decision today, you can do what they did in the New Testament to become a Christian. You can confess the faith that's in your heart. You can be baptized for the remission of all of your sins. Allow the blood of Jesus to cleanse you of every sin you've ever committed. To allow God to add you to His church, to His kingdom, to become a faithful worker in His kingdom, to have your name registered in heaven. If you've never been baptized, so that that can happen, there's water here this morning, there's garments and towels, it's ready for you to give your life to Him. So that one day, after living a faithful life of service to Him, you can hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. If you're not right with the Lord, the song we're going to sing says, trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to do that. If you need to do that, then why don't you come right now as together we stand and sing.